We have progressed in our study of the Gospel of John to chapter 10. This really is one of the more familiar passages in the Gospel of John. I think most of us have either heard it or read it ourselves or been in a Sunday school where it has been taught. It is important for us to remember that our Lord in chapter 9 was teaching the Pharisees and more specifically, responding to their hardened hearts. Now, when we come to chapter 10, his audience continues to be these same Pharisees that he confronted in chapter 9. Now, I might go back just very quickly and review there. You remember in chapter 9, the Pharisees were enraged at the Lord because he had healed on the Sabbath the man that was born blind. And these Pharisees had hauled this man before them, and he was questioning him as to how and what happened in order for this healing to take place. What is important to see is that these Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day. They were the ones that should have been the teachers of the scriptures, the teachers of the Old Testament. It wasn't that they did not know them. They knew them very well from what we would say Genesis to Malachi. But they were not teaching them or living by them. They only saw them from a legalist standpoint. Yet they were shepherds of the people. They were shepherds of the people. Now, you say, how do we know that? Well, these shepherds or these Pharisees were called shepherds in the Old Testament. Now, or the religious leaders, not necessarily the sect of the Pharisees. But when you come to Ezekiel chapter 34, listen to what God says. He's revealed himself as the shepherd of Israel. So in verse 11, he says, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness." And so what he's saying is that there is this shepherd and sheep relationship between God and his people, and that being him being the chief shepherd, then those that were the leaders in Israel were the under shepherds, if we want to say it that way. The Old Testament contained very severe warnings against those who would be false teachers or false shepherds. So in the same chapter, if we go back to the first two verses, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel." Those are what we're dealing with now in chapter 9, and then, of course, again in chapter 10, these shepherds of Israel. It says, "Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep?" And that's exactly what the Pharisees were doing. They were concerned about themselves and making themselves look good. They had no concern for the people that God had placed under them. And then if we stay in Ezekiel 34, what's interesting is you go down to verse 23, and it is a messianic promise of the coming Messiah. So in the same chapter, verse 23, he says, "And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd." Christ was saying to these Pharisees, "I am the fulfillment of that messianic promise." Now, the important thing to see here is that when Jesus uses the imagery he does in chapter 10, it was imagery that was very familiar to these Pharisees. They, as shepherds of the people, had literally rejected the one that had been prophesied to be the chief shepherd. And so that brings us to chapter 10. If we were to paraphrase what the Lord is saying to the Pharisees, it could be stated like this, and I'll just put it in quotes here. You should be the shepherds, but instead you are thieves, robbers, and strangers to the truth, and hirelings. You are concerned about yourselves. I am the good and perfect shepherd. Those who are mine hear my voice, follow me, and I give them eternal life, which no thief or robber can ever take away. You cannot follow me or hear my voice because you are not God's sheep. You are not my people. Now that's a basic paraphrase of what chapter 10 and these verses before us is saying. Now let's identify the symbolism our Lord uses in this teaching before we look at the verses. The shepherd in this teaching in John 10 is the Lord Jesus Christ. We could go to verses 11 and 14, not going to do that. I'll just say to you, if you look at them, you will see that each verse starts out with Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. So the shepherd in our passage is the Lord Jesus Christ. The sheep are the children of God. You could look at verses 7, 9, and 14, and very clearly you would see that is the case. Let me read to you verse 9, where the Lord says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So the sheep that are finding pasture, that have gone through the door of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are, of course, what? God's children. So we're talking now about the shepherd, or we could even say the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus, and the sheep are his people. The sheepfold is the church of God, or the body of believers, the assembly of believers. Look at verse 16. It says this, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. So we have the imagery. We have, first of all, the Lord Jesus, who is the shepherd in our text. We have the sheep, who are the children of God. We have next then the sheepfold, which is symbolic or picturesque of the body of believers. It is looking at the believers as a collected assembly. And then finally, the thieves, robbers, strangers, hirelings, all of these would try to lead the people astray from the shepherd, or we could say they represent false teachers. But more specifically, within the context, it refers to the Pharisees. So that's the imagery now that we see in John chapter 10. Having defined that imagery, let's begin analyzing the text by considering the nature of the sheep. The nature of the sheep. God's sheep enter into the sheepfold through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me go back and read in chapter 10, verses 7 through 9. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. We could say it this way, if we wanted to look at those verses and just boil them down, we could say it, God's people enter his kingdom through coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly what those verses are saying. God's people enter his kingdom by coming through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, within verse 9, there are three truths that are emphasized, and let's look at them individually. The first one is, the sheep needed saving or delivered. The sheep needed saving or delivered. You say, Why is that so important? Well, those who are in God's fold are not there because of their own goodness. They weren't let in because they were a little better than the sheep behind them, or a little better than the goat that was down the road. They weren't let in for that reason at all. They needed to be saved. They had to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. They needed to be delivered. And so it is the same with every Christian. If you are not a Christian this morning, and I think most would say in the room that you are, but if you're not a Christian this morning, do not think that you are unsavable. There is nobody past salvation. The Lord Jesus saves those who need saving, or we could say it this way. The Lord cleanses us when we cannot cleanse ourselves. There is not one sheep, and the picture doesn't allow for it, there is not one sheep that gives himself a bath and then says, okay, can I come in? Oh, sure, the gatekeeper lets us in. It's not that at all. You enter through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it doesn't make any difference how bad you think you may be. Salvation only comes by turning to the Lord. That's the first emphasis. The second emphasis is this. It is the fact that Jesus is the door. Jesus is the door. Now the question is, what does that mean? What does it mean for Jesus to picture himself as the door? And I think maybe the best answer is found back in the Old Testament. Now, you won't relate it immediately, but bear with me for a minute. Back in Isaiah 53, let me read first of all verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. So what does that tell us in verse 4? Number one, it tells us that our Lord was afflicted for what? Well, for those who were in grief or in sorrow, or those who were sinful. Why did Christ come to earth? He came to earth to deliver those who needed delivering. And so now you come down to verse 10 of Isaiah 53. And note what it says in regard to the coming work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. Note the word, to crush him. He has put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for guilt. Now note, guilt is the same thing as grief. That's why that word becomes so important. He was crushed because we were guilty, because we were sinners. And so he makes an offering for guilt. His soul makes an offering for guilt. He shall see his offspring, meaning those for whom he dies. He shall see them. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And what that basically is saying, and if we went on to read verses 11 and 12, you would see it very clearly. What it's saying is this. When the Lord was hanging on the cross, if you're a child of God, he saw you as he was hanging there. He was hanging there to accomplish your salvation. And therefore, we can genuinely say that God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, remember the imagery of John 10. The fold is the church of God, his kingdom. Christ is the door. What does that mean? Well, that simply means you can only enter God's kingdom because of Christ's work on the cross of Calvary. It's where he took the punishment for sinners. The door, that door that Jesus is the accomplished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that death on the cross, his resurrection from the grave in which he defeated death. Our deliverance from sin necessitated Christ taking our punishment. No one would come into the kingdom of God by their good works. We said that before, but now you see it so clearly presented when we talk about Christ being the door. He was crushed. He had to do it for us, is what Isaiah 53 was saying. We can only be saved by the work of Christ. It's our only hope of what? Of entering the sheepfold. Do you see the picture? Christ and his work is the door through which we become children of God. There it is. What is a child of God? Stop and think about that a moment. What is a child of God? Sometimes it's hard for us to express or even to define. But when we look at this picture, what we can say is this. A child of God is one who trusts in Jesus alone, who trusts that Jesus died for his or her sin, who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And I would just ask this question before we leave this particular truth. Is that true of you? Is that true of you? And if not, then I would encourage you in the quietness of your heart to confess your sin and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. That's Christ being the door, and he is the only way into the sheepfold. Now, a third truth emphasized in verse 9 is all who come to Jesus are blessed by the Lord. Now, that's pretty simple up front. But go back to verse 9. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. What's he saying? God's sheep, God's people go in and out and find pasture. God meets our every need and far beyond that. God is always blessing his children. We are submerged in the grace of God. We are submerged in his love. That's what it's saying. And as we will look further, as we continue in our study of the Gospel of John, you come to those great verses. No one can pluck us out of the Father's hand. What a grand, grand statement of truth that is. We are looking at the sheep in our Lord's teachings, and particularly we're talking about the nature of the sheep. In discussing that nature, I dare not leave the picture without pointing out a simple fact, and we almost overlook it if we're not careful. And that fact is this: the sheep belong to God before they enter the sheepfold. Stop and think about that. The sheep belong to God before they enter the sheepfold. Or we could say it this way. If you are a child of God, you belonged to God before you were saved. You belonged to God before you were saved. Listen to the verses that I'm going to read out of John 10, starting with verse 7. Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Then verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for whom? Who does he lay his life down for? What's it say? For the goats? No. For the sheep. For the sheep. Verse 15, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 16, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Now, is there any doubt in that statement? Is there any contingencies in that statement? Absolutely not. What the Lord says is, there are other sheep I have. Now, looking down the future, the sheepfold that he's talking about as he's standing in front of those Pharisees and teaching them concerning his sheep. As he talks, certainly he's talking about a sheepfold that would deal with converted Jews, those within the boundaries of Israel. But he said, there's other sheep I have all around the world, across the continents. Excuse me, these sheep will come. They may or may not come. It doesn't say that. I must bring them, Jesus says. What does that mean? Well, if there is one person that dies outside of the sheepfold that was one of God's sheep, then Jesus was a miserable failure in his salvation efforts. You see that? What it's saying is this. Jesus is saying, other sheep I have that are not of this fold, I must bring them, and they will hear my voice. There's no question about it. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. What's the divine order here? Well, first of all, God has sheep. Secondly, the shepherd must lay down his life for the sheep. Thirdly, the sheep are brought into the fold because the shepherd died for them. That's the picture. That's the picture. The Lord's work, the Lord's words can only be understood in this light. Excuse me. Let me ask all of us a question who are Christians. How or why did we respond to the gospel? Why did you respond to the gospel? The answer, according to our text, is because we belonged to God before we became Christians. We belonged to God before we became Christians. But how did we belong to God? We were his because we were purchased by whom? By the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what the word redemption means. We see it in the Bible. Over in Romans particularly, you see the word redemption. What does the word redeem mean? It means to be purchased out of the slave market of sin. And we belonged to God because the Lord Jesus purchased us in order that we might be part of the sheepfold, but we must come through the door, and the door is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has other sheep, as verse 16 tells us. They'll listen to his voice, and they will be included in the fold. So when we look at our salvation, when we look at where we are right now and our relationship to God, what can we say? What can we say? Well, we are sheep of the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we are sheep of the Shepherd, the Lord has saved us and delivered us from our sins. Now, what does that practically mean? I mean, if I'm going to just look at that and say, okay, why is that important? Why should I understand this? Well, we're talking about the nature of God's children, of his sheep. And so when we come to John 10, there are certain things we learn. God's sheep are what they are because they belong to God from eternity past. Before the world was ever created, God set them aside as his sheep. You say, oh, I don't understand that. How can you say that from the text? Well, let me remind you of Revelation chapter 13, I think particularly verse 8. I'm doing this off the top of my head, so check me out. But you remember the statement, the Lamb slain when? Before the foundation of the world. In other words, God's decree and God's plan incorporated the Lord Jesus coming and dying for sinners. And all of that was in place before the world began. Now, it actually took place in a moment of history, but it was all before the world began. And so just as the Lord was in a sense the Lamb of God before the world was created, so we were his sheep based upon what the Lord would do. It is the Holy Spirit's work at that point. When we come to the Lord Jesus, it is the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, who acts upon us. He causes us to see our desperate need. We sometimes call that conviction of sin. The Holy Spirit causes us to see the Savior, causes us to understand and to see the beauties of the gospel. And then he gives us the ability to turn from our sin and trust in the Lord Jesus. We repent and believe upon him. We know his voice, and he takes care of us. The reason you responded to the call of the gospel when you did is because you were sheep before you were saved. You knew the Master's voice. You knew the Master's voice. And we go in and out and find pasture. He meets our every need. Now, having said that, the question that I asked myself when I got all finished, and I ask it to you as well, because we all have a similar issue. The question is this: how could we do less than commit ourselves to faithfully serving him throughout our days? How could we do less than that? When we look at this grand picture in John 10 of the chief shepherd, and we're his sheep, and we go in and out and find pasture, and the reason we go in and out of the sheepfold is because we came through the door of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was crushed for us. And so how dare we be indifferent and lackadaisical in our commitment to him? And we all are. We all are. I am just like you. But how sad. How sad. And I would say even the older we get, what a greater responsibility we have to commit ourselves to faithfully serving him throughout our days. Why? Because we're his sheep. Because the good shepherd saved us. And we go in and out and find pasture. It's all of him. What else could we do but to give back? What else? That's why it's so important to see. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we come before you again with very thankful hearts for your word. We would pray that you would speak to us, help us to see these things, guide us. And we give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.